Good morning. Thank you for being here. I know it's a four-day weekend. It's cold outside. I almost didn't come. We're busy, right? It's funny how holidays, and I guess Valentine's Day and President's Day and all these other days are holidays, but it seems like we get busier on them. It's actually not, they're not days of rest. Or maybe you've done better than I have in all of this. So as I've been preparing, this is bonus material, by the way. I'm not prepared to even preach on this, but it's one of these verses that we can get stuck in our heads, and I just want to say a sentence or two about it. From Jeremiah, "The heart is devious or deceptive or deceitful above all other things, or who can understand it?" I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I studied Greek. But there's somebody that I respect and trust a great deal that says that's actually not a great translation. That's deceitful and devious. It's more mysterious. And you might think, well, that's not a huge change, but it is. Because the heart for you, that's part of who your identity, and if you think, well, how can I trust anything because it's deceitful above all things, it leaves you in a bit of a quandary. But mysterious, it is mysterious. The things that we love and that we go after and we put our affections toward, we don't always know. But I'm not going to preach about that. A kind of. A verse that did come to my mind to set us up. From Matthew's gospel, the 9th chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The song just came to me. Love is a battlefield. Y'all know Pat Benatar. And it works even with the heart being mysterious and the things that we love. The arena of our lives, much of which is our loves, it is difficult. We're harassed. Jesus sees us. I don't think it's just the crowds then. I think he could look at us and say the same thing. Maybe even multiply it. He sees the crowds, they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But one thing I know is true of us as Americans, we are harassed. A variety of ways. Through the technological and information age, I mean, we're being harassed all the time. And it takes discipline to not let that harassment just continue to bombard you. But it is the context in which we live. So unless you become a hermit, it's a harassment that we have to learn to cope with and deal with. One of the interesting catch-22s with us as Americans is this part about helpless, and none of us wants to own that, do we? Well, by God, I'm an American. Pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm not helpless. I double down. You know, I'm going to get the job done. Most of us don't like this idea that we're not at some level in control of our lives. Yes, you participate in things, but that's really an illusion. You're freer the sooner you come to that realization that you actually don't control much of anything. We're harassed and helpless. Love is a battlefield, this arena of our lives. So, I say all that to say I want to say a few words about the gospel reading today. Sermon on the Plain, Jesus is talking about blessed are, is this kind of situation of people, and woe or cursed is this situation of people. Jeremiah said the same thing if you were looking at that reading at the beginning. I don't think this is so much a dichotomy between rich and poor or hungry and satisfied, between those who are adored and those who are reviled, as it is a statement about God's nature. and that in his economy, he doesn't interact with the world the way that we do. His perspective is different. Otherwise, if we take these categories too literally, we would all, because certainly we're Americans, we want to make sure we're in the blessed side of things, and so we're going to do what we can to get over there. The problem is, the things that the people that they call blessed, we don't really want any part of it. So what might Jesus be trying to say to us? Practically speaking, this looks like trusting in God rather than trusting in ourselves. That's what these woes and blessings are. A different way to frame the battlefield of our lives. Where are we placing our trust? And it's never a once and done situation. Yes, I do trust God with a few things at some times, but maybe not now. I mean, it's a fluid situation, and I know that's true in your lives too. In our turning away from God and trusting in ourselves in order to be satisfied or rich or whatever the case may be, when we place trust in ourselves and turn away, we create conditions for woes, for this alienation or perishing. It can feel like we think we've got it all together, but if we realize what's going on, we can be very empty. We've placed trust in ourselves. But here's the good news in this. Even if that's where we might find ourselves this morning, this is a place, hear this, this is a place from which God sends his Son to rescue us. Okay? It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're in a category that's beyond hope. We're the very people harassed and helpless who've placed trust in ourselves that God has sent his Son to rescue and redeem us. The good news is that when we turn from God, God does not turn away from us. God no more turns away from us when we turn away than when we blindfold ourselves, the sun ceases to shine. We may not see it, but it is there. God does not turn away from us. This is the bottoming out, in some ways, of realizing that this battlefield upon which we live, where have we drawn comfort and security? And ultimately, those things won't lead to comfort and security. But that God has us. The one thing I love about this Matthew passage about being sheep without a shepherd is then all the promises where Jesus says, I am your shepherd. Not only a shepherd, I'm a good shepherd. I'm coming to rescue you. He is not giving us instructions on how to live life. That is not the good news. And you may be saying, well, of course that's good news, Malone. We're supposed to know what to do. Well, sure. But we've all got addictions and blind spots, and we never do this right. We need a shepherd who's come to rescue us. So that when we place our hope in the wrong areas, in this battlefield upon which we live, when we are quote-unquote cursed because we have trusted in mere mortals, in the things of humanity, we put our trust in the government. And it's either this government or the last government or any government. This is not a partisan statement. When you place your trust in humanity and our governance, you will come up cursed because eventually they're going to let you down. But of course we do. We're harassed and helpless. The blessing and cursing, the blessed or the woes, are not warnings about the afterlife. That's also important to know. You might think, well, I need to make sure I'm in the blessed side because I want to make sure I'm still on that side when I cross the veil. That's not what this is about. The functions of these passages is not primarily to condemn or terrify. Jesus is not in the condemning and terrifying game. Ever. What he's trying to do is shape our perspective with his ethic of love and trust. Again, thank you, Holy Spirit. Pat Benatar is perfect for this. The playground of our lives is a battlefield. And he is here trying to shape our perspective from the inside out with his ethic of love. He's not trying to say, this is how you can love. He's saying, this is what love looks like. Behold me, and I will transform your lives. The word there literally is metamorphosis. I will change you. It's his work and not ours. The Bible is ultimately not a book of instructions for you to follow in order to become. That's so American. The Bible is a revelation that we have a God who, once we were in peril in this battlefield and we've turned our own way and we've trusted in mere mortals, would say, not on my watch. I will not let you continue down the road to destruction without showing you how much I love you. And I'm going to send my son, who is the good shepherd, to redeem and rescue you. And I'm infinitely patient. This may take some time, because you've placed quite a bit of trust, Malone, in the things of humanity. And your life is going to begin to feel empty. Whoa, Malone. Not whoa, W-H-O. Oh, yeah, sure, W-H-O-A, whoa. But also whoa, W-O-E. Whoa, whoa. Whoa. Whoa, Malone. Settle down there, brother. You need to get your eyes back on me. And it's also good news for those who have just felt at the bottom of themselves, and they are the ones who are hungry and are reviled. The shepherd is saying, you have not been forgotten. You are blessed. The world may look at you and say, you're nothing. But you're precious in my sight. You're blessed. Because I've come for you and for those who are blind. But this is more of a statement about God's essence, his nature, and his economy than it is about any function of the afterlife or a to-do list for us. God calls us into this reversed perspective. Repentance, turning, reverse perspective. An invitation to see and think and reorient our lives to his perspective, which is beholding him. He's the one doing the transformation. The conversion of our heart and lives, as he does it, then will seem an inversion to the world around us. We'll begin to cherish different things. We'll begin to place our trust in different things. Let me close with this. You know Psalm 23. It's got a beautiful promise that I hadn't thought about in this way before until this last week. There's the line in there that says, talking about God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Y'all remember that? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And forever, I've always thought about kind of imagery of foreign invaders or enemies like that. You know, that in the midst of outward attack, that God is going to prepare a table for me, for me to rest and be renewed. Well, okay. But we don't face that very often. How about this? The enemies within. The distorted thinking. The clouded perspectives we have. The blind spots as we're on this battlefield. The trauma and the brokenness like devils that nip at our heels. And we can't seem to get rid of them. God prepares a table for us in the presence of those enemies. Now we deal with those enemies. They're with us, every one of us. And even in the midst of those places, what a beautiful promise. I'm preparing a table for you. Come rest. Eat of me. Be nourished, refueled, refreshed. I will begin to transform your life. This table is prepared for you. It is a banquet of grace and goodness, and all are welcome. As we sit there, our alienation is reversed. Our perspective is reversed, and we begin to experience our belonging and belovedness in God's economy, where our woes turn to blessing. Amen.